In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder what heaven means to you. Is it a place you believe you'll go to when you die? Does the idea of its existence frighten you? Because in its reality, there might also be hell, the lakes that burn with fire and sulphur, and therefore a chance you'll end up there instead. Most Christians don't take literally the idea of heaven as a place above the sky. We don't believe that we go there to sit on clouds, sporting wings and strumming harps, any more than we tend to believe that God sits up there, beard flowing, while St. Peter mans the gates of pearl as a kind of divine bouncer. These kind of images are now relegated to cartoons or jokes or cream cheese advertisements on television. But while many of us are pretty clear about what we don't believe about heaven, we are sometimes less confident about what we do believe. Our reading from the book of Revelation this afternoon gives us some clues about heaven. It describes a place where there is no suffering, no pain or tears or death, fellowship with God and others. When it comes to heaven, biblical writers employ metaphor and analogy. They tend to depict heaven in terms of certain types of earthly spaces that could be used to show us something of what heaven is like. And today we heard about it as a city, the New Jerusalem. In the ancient world, the city was far more than just a collection of streets and buildings. It offered security, community, a sense of citizenship and belonging. This New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, is striking in how it differs from the earthly Jerusalem. It is also a walled city with 12 gates, but the gates are open to all comers. But most significantly, the New Jerusalem has no temple, that most critical of buildings, because it is no longer needed. The dwelling place of God is among his people, and all areas of this new city are filled with his holiness. When in the Gospels Jesus tries to give people an idea of heaven, of eternal life lived with God, he uses images of people living and sharing and enjoying things together, a banquet, a wedding feast. There is no such thing as a personal, individual heaven, no matter how we might fantasize differently. It seems that heaven is the perfection of Jesus' teaching that abundant life is found when we love God and neighbor and ourselves. And so, heaven is not just some place or state that we get to eventually. It may be a future hope which we long to reach, but heaven is also that which God brings into this world. To live as a Christian is to live a life grounded in love, with hope in our hearts. To live out an active faith which brings the future promise of heaven into the here and now. This charge is particularly relevant today at the start of Christian Aid Week. If we anticipate justice, let us live justly. If we anticipate the end of creation's groaning, then let us live today as healers of creation. We are called to a newness of life now, as well as fullness of life in the future. The assurance of heaven demands more of us now, not less. But throughout our life, in this world and the next, we are accompanied by Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, who through his life, death, and resurrection continues to create and recreate in us, making all things possible and new. He is the journey and the journey's end, sustaining us in this life and welcoming us into the divine life of love in the next. The great theologian Augustine of Hippo led an extraordinarily active and pressurized life, as his confessions attest. At the conclusion of his immense work, The City of God, he describes how, for him, heaven is a place of rest, but such active rest that it draws in all the best things about being fully alive now. There, he says, there we shall rest and we shall see. We shall see and we shall love. We shall love and we shall praise. Behold what will be in the end without end. For what is our end but to reach that kingdom which has no end? So let us pray to the Lord, our beginning and our end, who makes all things new.